Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Online Warriors podcast. I'm Illegal86, and I hope you did your taxes, because if you didn't now, it's too late. Unless you're a small business, I think you get a small business exemption. I've heard you can get an extension. I don't know if that's actually true. I didn't do it, but I'm joined by my good friends Nerd Bomber and Tectic. Did you guys do your taxes?
Yes.
We did.
Okay, very good. I mean, if you didn't, you probably wouldn't admit it on the air, because that's admissible evidence, as far as I'm concerned. And the IRS, I kind of picture they're just a bunch of detectives rather than just accountants. Yeah, make sure you do your taxes if you haven't, but also if you didn't, it's too late. So like maybe there's a late payment. We're not talking about taxes. We're talking about a few different things today. We had a couple of big trailers hit the web. One for a movie, one for a video game. And we're going to be talking about Disney Plus, because why wouldn't we be talking about Disney Plus? Disney Plus, still going on, not going anywhere. And I'm not saying I even wanted to. We're going to talk about Disney Plus in a context that I think you guys are going to slam on Disney Plus, and I'm not. That's my tease for that topic, because I feel like usually I'm the one slamming on stuff, and I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling positive, uplifted. I think it's the weather. I don't know, but I'm just vibing with it right now. So, how are you guys doing?
Good. I'm ready to curmudge, if that's a word.
You're ready to curmudge, yeah.
I'm doing good.
I figured you picked this topic with the intent to curmudge.
I don't know if I'm going to curmudge. I haven't decided yet.
Did I make up a word, or is this, you guys are all rolling with it, so I'm not sure anymore.
I don't know. Is curmudge a word?
I don't think it's not a verb.
No. Curmudgeon is a word, but I don't know if curmudge is.
Hey, Shakespeare made up words and they stuck, so here I am making words. I'm basically a modern day Shakespeare.
Apparently a curmudge I have the dictionaries of the Scots language. Apparently a curmudge is just another word for curmudgeon. But then someone also, shout out to the onlinephotographer.typepad.com. They asked, is to curmudge not a verb? Which that's what we're asking right now. It's also and the name of an inn in Alaska. So look at this, guys. We're only a couple minutes into the podcast. We're already learning so much.
I'm looking at this inn in Alaska, and I mean, it looks cozy. I like it.
It looks really nice.
It does.
Yeah. Have you guys also heard the phrase "jump the shark"? Because
that was a yeah. Do you know where that? Here's a trivia for you. Do you know where the phrase "jump the shark" comes from?
Yeah, the Fonz.
The Fonz. That's right. I was testing you and you passed. That wasn't even the official quiz this week. For those that don't know, that on the show Happy Days in like the 70s, at one point, I don't know, the writers went out to lunch and someone decided, all right, in this episode, the whole episode is just going to be about the Fonz jumping over a shark with a jet ski. And it's like a whole big event. I've never watched that show, but that was apparently the point at which the show started getting bad. Hence the term jump the shark. This show will not be jumping the shark. We're actually going to dive down and go under the shark. Because it's equally safe. So it's not true.
We're going to dig deep, chew the fat, and circle back.
That, yeah, put that on a t-shirt. I like that a lot. Do you guys want to talk about Joker 2? Do you guys want to talk about Joker Folie à Deux? Folie à Deux, which I actually don't know. Do we have the translation for that? Is our language expert on the air with us right now? I don't know what that translates to. The do part is two. I know that. Something about two, which, you know, this is Joker 2 after all.
It is French for folly of two. Also known as shared psychosis or shared delusional disorder.
I love that for them.
It's a rare psychiatric syndrome in which symptoms of a delusional belief and sometimes hallucinations are transmitted from one individual to another.
AKA marriage.
Right.
Wow.
when you Google this movie, it shows the genre on Google as musical/crime. And I wonder how many other movies have that genre pairing. We got the trailer for this movie. I can't remember if it was last Monday
Chicago,
or last Tuesday. It was
The movie Chicago is a musical/crime.
Oh my God, you're right. That's a good movie too. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Well, it's also a Broadway show.
Yeah.
It is a Broadway show.
Well, I have to throw it out there though that it originated as a musical.
Yeah, never seen it on stage, but it's amazing. Yeah, so we got a trailer for this. Before we even get into the trailer, I think this was Tuesday we got the trailer. I don't remember, but they did a weird thing. And I love trailers as much as the next guy. I've talked about it on the show plenty of times. I'm a trailer hound. All right, big fan of all the music they use in trailers. A lot of things people hate about trailers, I love. One thing that people hate about trailers that I also hate is when they release videos early in the day that are like, here's 10 seconds of one shot from the trailer, and then at the end it says, we're gonna drop the full trailer at 8 p.m. Pacific.
But it's effective though, isn't it? It gets the people talking.
No, it's not. It didn't get me talking. It got me mad. And I almost didn't watch. I did. But like, Just release the dang trailer. What is the 10-second video doing for me? What is it doing for anyone? I guess it's building hype. I guess you're right. I just don't like it. I think it would be so much cooler if a trailer just dropped out of nowhere. I don't like all the telegraphing. I like the zeitgeist moment, the single moment of like, oh man, at 8:01 p.m. someone's like, the trailer just shadow dropped. Like, that's so much cooler to me. It's so much more exciting. And you're robbing the world of that when you get the ramp up for it. Anyways, I mean, look, this trailer is, I think, a lot of what you expect, right? It's Joaquin doing more Joaquin stuff. It's hard for me to even characterize it any other way. He looks physically misshapen, and it's on purpose.
I feel like they
He's
always...
standing in a courtyard crying. It's very, what talking about Joaquin?
Yeah, they always talk about, at least what I always see is discourse about, you know, the Marvel actors having to get like super buff and in shape and how it's almost unhealthy the amount that they have to work out. But I feel like nobody talks about how, like, in movies like this, people have to get super emaciated, like, and like, that ain't healthy. That's like super unhealthy. And I know that it makes the part work, but also, like, I always wonder what after effects on their like physical health actors have when they go through something like this.
Well, it's not even emaciated, because like, cause he is, but like, it's like he's doing like, he's like, he's going to the gym and he's picking up weights in both arms, and he's like, it's like he's doing hunch training. He's like using the weights to establish a hunch. It's like a weaponized hunch.
He nailed it.
It's like his whole spine is curving into a C. And I say this as someone who has a curvy spine, but like, this is, yeah, I agree. It's I mean, it's really something to watch, but also like, tactic comic expert, is the emaciation / hunchiness of Joker a critical part of Joker's character, or a, like, is it like an emblematic thing about Joker that it's supposed to be imparted upon me? Because like, I don't really attach the two. Like, I guess thinking about it, like, yeah, the Joker is typically skinny.
The Joker has been almost like every shape you can think of. He's sort of this unknown entity. He doesn't fit, like, he's not like someone like Bane, where like Bane is always ripped. The Joker can be anything, right? And that's what's beautiful about this. At least I think so, because every rendition that we have seen of the Joker has been very explicitly unique. Whereas like sure, Batman's been different, but like, has he though?
He's always, you know, just a, and he's a kind of buff yuppie. That's the Batman physique.
Right. And or Playboy, right? And the fact that this is just something that can take on its own and it doesn't look like it's in the shadow of any other Joker, that's the right detail. The Joker should always be different, should always be something unhinged.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine the physique choices made by Joaquin Phoenix himself or Todd Phillips, who knows who's making the decision, like, it's to add to the unsettling nature of like everything. And in that respect, it's very effective. I'm not knocking it at all. It's like, so did you guys see the first one?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, thinking back to when I saw the first one, I believe I did see it in theaters. Like, it was good. It was hyped up too much for me, definitely.
I could see
like
that.
I saw it and I was like, it was good, but it wasn't like, it didn't really knock my socks off necessarily. But Joaquin was like excellent. That is the one thing that like really shined through about it, is that he was, you know, displaying like method actor commitment. I don't know if he actually was method acting for this. I would hope not. But like, it looks like this trailer, I don't even know how much we get here that's specific, other than just like, he clearly meets Lady Gaga, who I assume is Harley Quinn.
That
they engage in a folie à deux. So you take issue with that? You don't think she's Harley Quinn?
No, I think she's 100% Harley Quinn. I think they even say Harley at one point in the trailer. I take issue with the fact that there, and I understand that this iteration of the Joker, like, obviously very different backstory. It's supposed to be slightly more realistic than what you see in the comics. But they're showing Harley Quinn's backstory being somebody who is also either in the mental hospital as like a patient. I can't tell if he's in jail or a mental hospital or maybe both, but she's not
the
position
of
power that she usually is in her story. Like, typically the Harley Quinn Joker story is that she is his doctor and he uses weird mind voodoo or something, not like real voodoo, but like his psychological games to have her under his spell. And like, now they're going to be on level playing field. And it's just a different dynamic. I don't know if it'll be bad, but it's just a different dynamic than what I'm used to. So I was a little taken aback by that decision to make that change.
I I don't want to say she was in a position of power. I think she was. So the whole Joker premise is you're always one bad day from psychosis, right? That's the whole thing. And
right.
She was kind of in this, while yes, she was his therapist, she was also in this position where, you know, she wasn't respected and no one saw her for her. She felt seen by the Joker, and that's why she sort of gravitated towards him and ultimately fell in love with him and had this shared psychosis, as you say. So I don't...
And that's this.
I don't...
That's what we're seeing.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I don't think she... I don't think you can really look at her as being in this position of power as her normal, you know, therapist, right? She's not a... She wasn't really.
Well, I think but it's just their dynamic in general, though, because it puts them at a more equal playing field. Because in my mind, Joker went for her because she was in a position of power. In the comics and in every iteration of the Joker and Harley Quinn, I've never believed that the Joker... is like in love with Harley Quinn.
No,
it's more that he's
not.
Using her
because she
was in a position of power. Now they're in a level playing field and they're making it seem more like an equal type of love story.
But he didn't love her because of her power, right?
I don't agree that he loves her in most iterations
of
their story.
That's what I was going to say.
But in this trailer, it seems like there is more of a love there, at least from what they've shown in this like 2-minute trailer.
The Joker has a certain sadistic love for knocking people down pegs. That is really what his thing is. It could be shown later on as we progress, because I don't think there is a Harley Joker interaction where he doesn't kind of like leave her to the dogs, basically.
Right. And that's why I just think like in this trailer, they just make it seem like it's a little bit more equal.
Or maybe that's all from the perspective of what Harley is seeing.
It could
be. And that's another reflection of what we have seen in Harley, where she romanticizes their relationship more than what it actually is.
At the end of the day, I think we have to take a step back. And to me, the first Joker movie, like...
It divorced itself.
Is it not pretty loose?
Yeah, it divorced itself from the source material.
So I think there's a chance that we're thinking about Harley and his relationship more than they were. They're not beholden to anything, I guess is my point. And like, they don't, I think to its credit, they don't care about other universes or what the Joker is supposed to be. They care about what the first movie did, and they care about building on that with someone like Lady Gaga. Now, I am generally speaking, a Lady Gaga fan. She cannot hang with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, I disagree.
I thought this looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
She cannot hang. She will not hang in the movie. She will stick out compared to him. That's a prediction. I'm not saying she did in the trailer, but we also didn't really see a whole lot in the trailer.
I think the more I'm thinking about it, the more that the pretty artsy dancing is going to be Harley's mind. That makes the most sense to me. And then the other thing that I think is just absolutely as exciting is that it is like Nerdbomb, like you said, it is a new perspective. And I think the fact that it's a completely new character will allow her the opportunity to hang.
We'll see what happens. There is, one thing is for sure. I mean, this movie, just based on the trailer we saw, clearly intends to be more... Is fantastical the word I'm looking for? There's going to be, like you said, at least one sequence taking place within someone's mind. I mean, the big talk show thing we saw, like, obviously none of that's real. I mean, considering how the first movie ended and the fact that you see them kind of hanging out in the mental hospital at various points in this trailer, like, I assume they're going to leave the mental hospital, but we really don't know much of anything other than that there's going to be, I think, a decent amount of music and a lot of the two of them. So where does that leave me in terms of wanting to see it? This is definitely going to be a wait and see for me, considering how I felt about the first one. This is going to have to get some gangbusters reviews for me to, I guess, be particularly interested in it. I will say the last shot, everyone's talking about the last shot in the trailer where she draws the smile on the glass. That was really good. That was really good. And I think it's getting a lot of, it's getting its flowers on the internet. I think that's well deserved. Is it going to go beyond that gimmick? And is it going to hold up relative to the first one? Because people still do love the first one. It might not have been for me, but I think that is probably the watermark. I do think that this is one of those sequels that, you know, the first one, it really had a lot going for it in the sense that it was super unexpected, right? In its very nature, it was a comic book movie that wasn't really a comic book movie, that was very dark, that was directed by the guy who directed The Hangover, who has like never done a serious movie before. All of it was surprising, right? This isn't going to benefit from that element of surprise, or at least I don't think it stands to as much. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's received in that context. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I hope it's good, but I'm going in tentative, I think, is where I'm at with it right now. Are you guys, is this a theater?
No.
Theater thing for you?
I actually, no. Like, something about the first movie, and I get that was kind of the point, made me a little bit too uncomfortable. I didn't love it, so I don't know. I feel like I'll probably watch it when it hits, like, HBO or something, but I'm not going to run out to the theaters for this.
Not every movie needs to be fun to watch, right? But, like, yeah, this wasn't fun to watch, and it wasn't supposed to be, right? It's like, it's just cinema of the unsettling. I will say, October 4th is the release date. That's perfect. No notes. That's the perfect time to come to put this movie out, because people are going to be like, I think it's vaguely Halloween adjacent, and it's not close enough to Halloween where you're like, oh, it's a scary movie. But it's like, it's in that time of year where you're, I think, more predisposed to this kind of experience. So we'll see. But October 4th, 2024, once again, directed by Todd Phillips, obviously Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga. Looks like Zazie Beetz is going to be back, and I like her. So yeah, we'll see. Let's stick with trailers. Let's move on to the other trailer here. We definitely talked about Star Wars Outlaws on the show before. I don't know if it was like, I guess E3 is dead now, but it was some Summer Games thing we saw. I think we saw some gameplay. And if I recall correctly, I know I myself was pretty immediately enamored. So a couple things happened last week with Star Wars Outlaws. We got a story trailer. We also got a release date, which I don't think we had until last week. It's coming out August 30th, 2024. The story trailer. So let's talk through this. I think it's great. It's exactly what I want it to be. There's one thing that I did not like. There's one thing I saw that I did not care for in the trailer, and we'll get to that. But the idea of, I'm forever fascinated and taken in by the Star Wars criminal underworld. And, you know, this trailer starts with the premise, this guy basically saying, like, the Empire is distracted by the rebellion. It's a great time for crime. Let's do crime. And kind of from there, there was another minute and a half of stuff that happened after that about the main character. But just that, I was pretty much in from there. I want to get your guys' thoughts, but I do want to say the one thing I did not like, because again, I think the best thing a game like this can do, what's the best thing a game like this can do, is distance itself from the stuff you know. And that's my opinion. I think it can distance itself. So when we saw Han Solo, I was like, you didn't have to do that.
Do we know that was Han Solo for sure?
That was Han Solo. Come on. It was definitely Han Solo, and they wanted you to be like, ooh, Han Solo. I don't care. I know
but
Han
I didn't
Solo
do that. I didn't go, ooh, Han Solo.
Yeah, but a lot of people did. I just like that, maybe it's unreasonable, but like that just bothered the crap out of me. I was like, just be your own thing. Like, yeah, you can have Jabba the Hutt in it, because like it makes sense to have Jabba the Hutt in it. You're doing a game about the Star Wars criminal underworld, but like you can even throw in some bounty hunters if you want. You can throw a Boba Fett in there for all I care. But like just having her like walk up to Han Solo and be like, wow, what happened to this guy? Like it's hacky. I don't need it. Do your own thing. Everything else in this trailer was great.
I'm surprised you didn't comment on the graphics. Like, you always have something to say about graphics.
I was going to comment on the graphics.
I have something to say about the graphics.
There was something disconcerting about the graphics. I couldn't necessarily put my finger on it. But you know when you watch AI-generated video and there's just something slightly off? Like things are moving that maybe shouldn't be moving. One of the things that I noticed was like hair seemed to be moving and floating on its own often.
I don't like her hair.
Yeah.
I don't like her hair.
And like that was throwing me off. And a lot of characters had that issue where like something was just slightly off, or like there was character movement when there really shouldn't have been.
There were movement issues. Yeah. Like I did notice the graphics. In cases like this, where I love everything else that's going on, I'm willing to not care so much, which is why I didn't say it. But yeah, there's a lot of like, I noticed at one point she's like running down a hallway shooting at some bugs, and there's like dudes running after her. And the movement was very like, the movement of the dudes, it was very like PS2 era.
Yes.
It was like they're moving, but it looks like they're moving through Jell-O almost. Like it's very unnatural. So yeah, I'll certainly meet you on that. I think that the graphics could have been better. What I remember from the playthrough that we saw was that they were phenomenal in game. So I'm not sure if this is a cinematic issue or what it is, but I did notice that. Nerdbomber, any more thoughts on this? I mean, where are you at with this? Is this a must-have situation for you, or are you tentative?
I'm a little tentative. I mean, I think, like you said, the story looks good. Like, the premise of the underworld of the Star Wars universe is something that I feel like we don't see enough of. And I definitely feel like I'm going to play it, but I feel like I have a backlog of Star Wars games that I also haven't played. I do feel like this is going to be more up my alley than the, why can't I think of his name? The redheaded.
The Jedi Survivor.
Yes, the Jedi Survivor games. Just by nature of that feels more like a, I know it's not quite Souls-like genre, but like felt a little bit more like it. And that's not typically my normal
juice. Jedi stuff.
Yeah. And like,
it's different.
This feels a little bit more up my alley. And also, can we just acknowledge the fact that her little buddy pal is basically a giant axolotl furry animal thing? And like,
yeah,
I gotta give the Star Wars universe credit for coming up with some of the cutest dang little creatures that you've ever seen, because they have a lot of them and they keep coming up with new ones, because this is like the first of its kind
and very useful too. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nyx, go get that blaster for me. And he just goes.
That's a good pal. I actually really like that element in games too, when you have a little buddy friend who goes and retrieves stuff for you. It just, I don't know, makes it a little bit more fun. I can't really put my finger on why I like a little buddy friend, but I just like a little buddy friend.
You always like little buddy friends.
The Jedi guy, Cal Kestis, I think that's his
name. Yes.
He's got a little buddy, but it's a droid. And that's not as fun.
Also like, cute, just, but I feel not like quite we've as done fun. That.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like there's a, I don't want to say a Han Solo situation, but like, she's trying to buy her way out of what exactly? Slavery? Like, do we know? This guy's basically saying, buy your freedom by stealing from these folks. For the moment, I don't need to know anymore. You're going to bump elbows with a lot of unsavory folks, and you're going to visit a lot of places, and you're going to shoot a lot of guns, and hopefully no one's going to hold a lightsaber. That's my hope for this game. I mean, it's called Outlaws, so I have a good feeling about it, but Tactic, where are you at? Let me take your temperature here. How are you feeling about the Outlaws?
This is one of those games where I'd play it on Game Pass, is kind of the vibe. I've been struggling with the Star Wars franchise as a whole lately, and it would really take a lot for me to get on board. Which is sad, because it's not a dig really against this game. It's more just the holistic interest.
Well, it is, you know, like, I've heard such good things about The Last Jedi. What is it called? Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order, I think that's what they're called. I tried one of them, couldn't get into it. I've heard such good things about them, just can't do it. This one's much more attractive to me, but I can understand being wary with Star Wars video game titles right now. The other thing I will say is, man, they're just like, they must have like a Star Wars name generator. They just pop up on Google. I mean, Sliro? Sliro sounds fake. It sounds like someone had to make up a name in 2 seconds and they were like, Sliro. So I didn't love that, but that's just me picking nits because I need something to talk about. I think this looks great. I have faith that the graphics are going to be better when we see more. Also, I think if you want to bump the excitement quotient up, you should go watch the gameplay footage again, because again, it looked awesome. So I'm sure we'll get a lot more about this. I think you can pre-order the game right now if you're feeling real, real ballsy. I'm not going to go that far necessarily, but I'm excited about this. This may be a day one buy for me, which for me is very, very rare, but we'll see. August 30th, 2024, I'll wake up and I'll make a decision. We're going to take a short break now before coming back to talk about Disney Plus. But before we do that, I would be remiss if I did not shout out our fantastic Patreon producer, Mr. Stephen Keller. Stephen's been supporting the show for quite a while now. He's been on the show a number of times. He's hung out with us. He's quizzed with us. He's displayed his knowledge. He's gotten about a gazillion producer shout outs, and he'll get a gazillion more provided he continues supporting the show. Stephen gets all of these benefits along with a few more as a result of his Patreon subscribership at the highest of our three levels, which is the Knight level. He gets this producer shout out every episode. He gets input into the weekly game segment, of course, access to the monthly secret segment and vlog, and the occasional guest spot on the show. There is also a Squire level of support, which is a little bit lower, but you still get access to the monthly secret segment and vlog. And there's a page level, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment. So you can head over to patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast. Get all the details there. Say hi to Steven. Say hi to us. Tell us what you think of all this stuff that we've talked about on this show or in any past shows. And consider joining up with us and, I don't know, making the world a better place. While we're at it, I will also shout out our Twitter handles. @OWLegal86, @OWTactic, @OWNerdBomber. And our main show account, @OnlineWarriors1. What do you think of Star Wars Outlaws? What do you think of Joker Folie à Deux? What do you think of this show? What do you think of really anything? We're willing to talk to you about anything. Just head over on to Twitter, We'll come back in a few minutes here to talk about Disney Plus and also maybe about cheese. I don't know. Who knows? But stick around.
Let's see, Alex. What do you think of Jaws, which is at 97% Rotten Tomatoes?
I find it to be anti-shark propaganda. What do you feel about the Entourage movie, which is at a meager 33%?
I think they finally got Hollywood right. How about It Follows, 97%?
Worse than your parents giving you the sex is evil talk. How do you feel about Juno, which is at 94%?
That would be a movie that celebrates a teenage homewrecker. How about Bewitched at 25%?
Best television adaptation ever put to film. How do you feel about American Hustle at a towering 93%?
Overwrought awards bait. Righteous Kill, 19%.
The movie that Michael Mann wishes he had made when he created Heat.
Sounds about right. I'm Julio.
I'm Alex, and we are the Contrarians.
As you can tell, our thing is that we rage against the Rotten Tomatoes machine.
Regardless of what we really feel.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn.
Facebook, Twitter, we're everywhere.
All right, we are back. Talk about Disney Plus. Disney Plus is, for me, the app that I put on when I'm like, I want to watch something familiar and fall asleep. So that's what it is for me these days. Like, I'm not watching anything new on it. For that reason, I'm on board with what they're planning to do here. According to a report from The Information, which is apparently the name of a publication, that's not just me saying information that I have, the Disney Plus app could soon feature always-on channels. That's apparently a technical term. So think Pluto or Tubi or Freevee, which is Amazon's version of it. These are basically things on your Amazon Fire Stick or your Roku. You can basically turn them on, and it acts like cable TV, but it mostly plays like reruns of one show all in a row.
Yeah, most of them are
like Pluto TV.
A single show channel. And yeah. You know what? I thought maybe I might curmudge about this,
I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
Like, I don't do this often, but there are sometimes, like, there's like Love It or List It when I had COVID like last year.
Yeah.
And I just needed something that I wasn't invested in, but that would just keep playing so that when I was like in and out of a fever dream, I could tune in. Like, I think I just turned on 24-hour Love It or List It channel, and it just kept going, and it was great.
Yeah, Pluto, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I'm almost positive they have a channel that's just like the Survivor channel, and they just play Survivor like 24 hours a day. I'm a Survivor fan. I'm Beyonce basically. But they have a channel that just plays Law and Order all the time. Like, these are like shows, like it's reruns, don't get me wrong, it's not like current stuff, but like, if you want, the article I have in front of me uses the example, if you want to tune into a random show without having to worry about hanging on to every single word like you would when you watch something like Fallout, which just came out, I guess this article is trying to be trendy, making that reference. But like, there is this free ad-supported streaming TV. Apparently the acronym FAST is like an actual thing. Apparently a report from Bloomberg recently revealed that viewers are spending more time watching these sorts of things than things like Peacock, Max, and Paramount Plus. Again, I think because of that appeal, right? Because people want to just like turn something on and like, oh, hey, look, it's like,
well, it's background House
Hunters on repeat.
Too.
Well,
yeah, yes.
Do you guys remember, and maybe I'm the only one who did this, but like back in the day when cable TV was the thing and there was no streaming service, like you flip through the channels and you would watch the same movie on HBO or Starz. Like, you'd catch like 30-minute snippets because you'd be like, oh, Disturbia is on again on HBO. Let's watch it for the 10th time because I know what happens here. I know it's entertaining. I can put it on and I don't have to pay that close
attention. It's not even HBO. It's like FX.
Yeah.
FX has the movies. They had a whole like ad campaign. You could go and like, there's movies that like, not for nothing, like cable was great for that, where like The Shawshank Redemption, like now considered like one of the best movies ever. Like, it had like people didn't love it when it first came out. It got a second life on cable and everyone was like, wow, this movie's playing on cable all the time. I guess I'll sit down and watch it. Oh, it's really good. Like, I still like when I go to a hotel, have you guys been to a hotel recently and you turn on the TV and there's cable?
They don't have that.
And you're
that.
Like, this is the height of luxury.
When we were in...
Oh, for me, that... Oh,
we were in Montreal last year.
Going to the wrong hotels.
And we were having, like, really long days. We had, like, 50,000 steps. And we'd wake up and leave our hotel at, like, 8 in the morning to get our day started. But then that meant that on the days when we weren't out late getting, like, drinks or a late dinner, like, we were, on some days, back in our hotel at, like, 9 o'clock. And then we're like, okay, well, let's watch some TV before we settle down for bed. But now... A lot of the hotels, like, you just log into your streaming service. They don't have TV anymore.
Oh, no. No, the last hotel I went to, I feel like every hotel I go to, I'm like flipping around, and reruns of Friends are always on Nick at Night. And like, look, I know I could go on Max right now. I could watch any episode of Friends that I wanted. I could pick my favorite one and watch it. And I do that sometimes. But like, there's just something, there's something about cable. Like,
I think, so this I Disney think that's Plus becoming more and more like, rare though. Like, a lot of hotels are more relying on you to just load up your own account.
And do you ever get
I've never had to do that yet. I go to hotels a decent amount.
Every hotel I've stayed in the last probably like 3 years have all been like that with no cable TV. And it's a little sad.
I predict that you guys are staying in nicer hotels than me. That is my, like,
I mean,
if you go to a Holiday Inn right now,
that's,
you're watching cable.
I've stayed at a 100%. Holiday Inn, although I guess it is a Sheraton considered nicer these days? I feel like I've stayed at like a Sheraton and a Hilton. I don't know. Marriott. That's a
very good question.
I feel like they're relatively cheap. Like, we get these hotels on the cheap.
Hampton Inn and Hilton Garden Place. Just shouting out two hotel chains that I know I stayed at recently off the top of my head. They're bumping cable at all times. So, I don't know. But, like,
do you guys ever
Disney Plus coming around to this,
sorry,
it makes sense to me. Like, I think that, like, we've all been joking for years because we all saw this coming a mile down the road of, like, streaming services are eventually going to become cable again. Especially with streaming services now introducing ads to anything anyways, I don't know that I'm against us going back towards the cable model.
I think if,
like,
you have
maybe that's
both,
a crazy thing to say.
Like,
but
if you have these channels, but then you also have the option, like, as long as you retain the option to pick what you want at a specific time, like, I think you need to have both. But then again, it is basically the cable model, because then that's just going back to the on-demand model. But hey, I don't know.
Right.
But there
I
is
think you're
something
right. I think people still want choice.
About, you know, sometimes you know exactly what you want to watch. You're in the middle of a show and you're watching Extraordinary. You just want to beeline through it. We'll talk about that later. But sometimes you don't want a choice. You just want to turn something on. And I think there's something to be said about, like, right, the analysis paralysis that you can get when you have to decide what you want to watch. Like, the sheer panic. So this is a little insight into our relationship. We typically, you know, as we're eating dinner, we have a show that we watch together. And I mean, talk throughout our day. So, like, dinner time is like when we sit down together and watch TV together, because the rest of the time we're doing other stuff together or we have hobbies, etc. So I am in charge of booting up the show while Tectic is doing the cooking. And the sheer panic that I feel when we have just ended a show and I have to pick the next thing, I'm like flipping
so many choices
through all of the streaming services, trying to figure out what has the longest tenure. Which
you also save it a little bit till it, like, dinner's almost ready.
Sometimes
you're like,
I forget that we finished a show, and then I'll like go to Hulu and it's like, oh God, I have no episodes of this left. What do I do? And then I like literally feel panicked trying to figure out what to watch next.
Because, well, you had one job, you know, you just, I'm just kidding.
Rude. So, like,
no,
there's something to be said about getting rid of that feeling and just letting fate take the wheel.
Well, and the other thing about this, too, is that I would argue that of all the streaming services, Disney Plus is by far the best position for this, right? Because when I go on Disney Plus and I look for something to fall asleep, I'm like, I know I want to watch Star Wars, but I don't know which one. The examples that are used here is, like, they would have a Star Wars channel, they would have a Marvel channel, they would have an animated classics channel. Like, yeah, that sounds amazing. Like, I want to watch a Marvel movie. I don't know which one. Hey, there's this channel that's always on. What does it have on right now? I'll dive in the middle of, you know, Ant-Man or something. Like, I think there's something to be said about that, too, is, like, diving into a movie in the middle of it, and in particular one that you've seen before, there's, like, a joy to that, and that's kind of part of the power of cable, and I can't really articulate why that's great, but I think that's why we're swinging back in this direction. I think there's a good feeling. I think there's a feeling of superiority you get when you turn on Ant-Man, and you're at the 50-minute mark, and you're like, you access your brain, you're like, I know what happened in the first 50 minutes. Now I can settle in and watch, you know, the last hour. And there's also something to be said for, like, oh, that's perfect, I skipped the boring parts of Ant-Man. You know, like, it's, there's benefits to be had from something like this. So, like, I am pro. Like, this is, like I said at the top of the episode, this is the kind of thing that I think we're expected, or at the very least, I'm expected to come out and, like, go full curmudgeon on this and be like, this is the worst. We don't need to go back to cable. We don't need more ads. The thing about this is that we're getting ads anyways. Like, my wife and I are watching a show on Prime right now, and, like, we pay for Amazon Prime. Guess what? We're still seeing ads. It's like, this is part of our lives now, and it always has been, and it always will be. We talked about this last week. I'll probably talk about it next week, too. T- Tactic, are you curmudging on this, or are you, where are you at with this?
I'm just sort of middle of the road. It's the inevitable direction that everything's going. So, yeah. I mean, we're all going to eventually
it's the progression.
We said we're going to cut the cord and go to streaming. I guess we're going to plug it back in at some point or solder them together. I don't know.
It's the progression we all saw coming, like I said, a mile down the road. So, like, it's not any surprise to hear them going in this direction. But, like, I think as we go further down this road, what the conversation is going to shift to in the coming months and years, it's not going to be like talking about how this is happening. It's going to be talking about, okay, let's talk about like the streaming era of entertainment, assuming that it kind of ends or like changes with this transition. Like, what did we learn from it? And that's like, I'm not prepared to say right now what I think we learned from it or didn't learn and should have learned. But like, I think you're going to see a lot of discourse about that, of like, what was good about it? What was bad about it? What can we take into the next era of, I guess you'd call it personal entertainment or like in-home entertainment. Like, what can we take into that era from this era that will benefit us? It's an exciting time, you could say. And tonight I'll probably boot up Pluto TV and fall asleep to the House Hunters channel. And I can't wait for that. That's the joy of being alive in 2024. Let's move on to What Are You Up To Wednesday. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been up to. I'm going to go first today. I'm feeling exuberant. I have two updates. One is that my wife and I started watching a show on Amazon Prime, which I just mentioned. It's called Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
You finally started watching it?
It's kind of like the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. It's like loosely based on that. Have you guys watched all of it?
Yeah. Yes, we have.
It's like, I think we've watched four episodes. It's good. It could be so much better. That is my current view of it, is that it could be so much better. I think the premise is amazing. I think the two leads are phenomenal. I think the writing sometimes fails the show. I think the best parts of the show that we've seen so far have been the parts that, just based on how the characters are acting, there are parts of the script that maybe weren't written traditionally, and it's reliant on Donald Glover and Maya Erskine like doing their thing, which they're very, very good at. The action's good. I think I want more from it than I'm getting, but I'm going to give it its due time to sort that out, because it's definitely worth sticking around for, at least for the moment. So watching that, into that. The other thing I did this past weekend was I did some manual outdoor house labor, which doesn't sound fun, but the labor, and this was a labor that took most of my weekend, from assembling it to mounting it on the house. We now have a basketball net on our house. And nice. Let me tell you something about basketball. I am not a big basketball player. If you like saw me physically, you'd be like, that guy doesn't play basketball. And that's true. But there's something to be said about, like, as far as major sports go, like, you can't really just like pick up a football and throw it to yourself, right? But basketball, you can just go outside, throw the ball against the hoop as many times as you like. It's a fantastic house addition. I'm very proud of the job that I did with the help of my dad, of course. Mounting it on the house, like I said, it took most of the weekend. Worthwhile. So going to be enjoying that for the nice weather months, hopefully. Over to Nerd Bomber. Take us through a week in the life.
I can't remember if I talked about this last week, but I'm plugging through my Chuck rewatch, which is such a good show. And I'm sure you guys have heard me wax poetic about it so many times. So
you did not mention this last week. I didn't know you were on another rewatch.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, especially when Tectic is working on his game, sometimes when it hits like 10 o'clock at night and he's still plugging away at it, I'm tired and I don't want to do anything anymore. I don't have the like mind power to play a game. I don't have the mind power to read a book. Like, my eyes can't focus on it. So I just needed something that I could watch by myself that, you know, was low impact, and Chuck fit the bill. So I'm very slowly working through it, because it's not the main thing I'm watching, and it's really just my tired show when I don't really, not that I don't care about it, but like, I know what happens. So like, I don't need to have full mental capacity to process what's going on. And it is as good as I remember it being. It is very, very good still. So it holds up, at least in my mind. It's very campy, but it holds up for me. So the soundtrack is an absolute banger. And then the other thing
is, it nostalgic?
It is.
Yeah, it has to be.
I will say they do a decent job not relying too heavily on technology, where it doesn't feel super dated that much yet. Like, there's a lot of references to like the Xbox 360, but they never really call it out by name. And obviously a lot of like flip phone stuff,
right?
But overall, because a lot of it is just like, it's spy action. And he's still like, his whole shtick is he has all the data in his head. So regardless of whether there was like an AI computer or not, like, he has this data downloaded in his head. So it still kind of works. Like, it wouldn't be totally unbelievable if it happened in today's world. So it still holds up.
Well, and even, you know, the technology stuff aside, like, that show was made in, like, the mid-aughts, right? Just, like, the whole world was different then. They were making shows differently then. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, it has to feel so much different.
Well, I mean, the seasons alone.
In the past 10 years.
Like, the seasons are 22 episodes in a season, and I can't remember the last new show that I watched that had more than, like, 12 episodes in a season. So,
yeah.
That in and of itself
is totally
crazy.
Indicative. Yeah, it's totally indicative of, like I said, just a totally different era of television that has since gone completely away. Cool.
And then the other major thing, and Tactic, I'm sorry if I steal this from you, but we started watching Extraordinary, and this is, I don't know if it originated on Hulu, but at least in the United States, it's a Hulu original. There's two seasons of it currently, and essentially it's a half an hour comedy in a world where every human being gets a power at 18.
I suggested this to her a while ago, and
I think it was because there was only one season, and it was one season of 8 episodes that were half hour, and I was like, we're going to run through this in like a week.
So the showcasing trailer that I presented to you was the one guy that his power was to touch people and gives them orgasms, and you're like, nah, I'm out.
I mean, also fair though.
I was like, nah, I'm in.
But the main character, she is in her late 20s, I believe, and she never got her power. So it's basically following her and her friends as she's trying to navigate a world where everybody has these random powers and she doesn't, and she doesn't feel like she fits in. And there's just a lot of like situational comedy. I don't know. It's very light, and I feel like there's a lot of societal commentary mixed in there. It's a UK-based show, so if you don't like British comedy, that may not be for you, but I think it's funny. And again, not super high impact, nice half hour in and out. Right now there's two seasons, I think 8 episodes each. So I don't know. It's funny. Sometimes you just need a good comedy. There's not a lot of them out there.
I feel you on that. Comedy is a dying art. Yeah, Tactic.
So two things I want to talk about. The first one is that I did finish. I had a goal to at least make a demo of my little side scroller game for the team to play at our corporate retreat. Our corporate retreat is at our house. It's nowhere near. But we talk about the fun times we had over the year. And Illegal's going to play my game. So I'm excited for that. So that's up and coming. We'll talk about that next week. And then the other thing is we picked up season 2 of Invincible. And this season is a bit different than the first one. The first one really hit hard because it was going through like the turmoil between Invincible and his father was like right in your face. Now it's kind of less actiony and more drawn out, but there's definitely the same, you know, gore and strife and all of the things that we loved in season 1, but it's a bit more subdued in my opinion, which I think is going to make for a really good season 3, because you can't just be all high. You got to kind of have a little bit of a roller coaster ride for it to be a good quality show. But still, like I said, 10 out of 10, the show is definitely worth a watch, especially if you liked season 1. And that's about it. That's all I want to talk about.
Cheers. Well, that brings us to quiz time. And I'm the mayor of Quiztown this week. And it's a big week, guys. It's a big week. I mean, here we sit. I am 6-4, Nerdbomber 6-3, Tactic 4-6. So Nerdbomber's in front here. Steven 0-1. Sorry, Steven, but I'm legally obligated to say that every week. So Nerdbomber, if you win here, you're putting Tactic in a pretty deep hole. So I don't know, I guess just use that as motivation. The topic this week is waterfalls. And I'm going to start off this quiz the only way I know how. But I guess before I get to my first question, of course, it is Price is Right style. Everyone gets an answer of 1 or plus 1. You get one of those per game. And Nerdbomber, you will go first since you have the better record, thus giving Tactic a slight advantage. Everyone knows you shouldn't go chasing waterfalls. Everyone knows that. TLC told us that you shouldn't go chasing waterfalls. How long is that song in minutes and seconds?
I actually listened to the song a fair amount, and I think it's longer than most people would think. I feel like the radio version cuts it down, but if you listen to the full thing, it's like a 3-minute and 55-second song.
Tactic.
That's a really good guess, but I think you are slightly high, so I'm going to say it is 1 minute 10 seconds. Like, I think it's short. Let's say shorter.
Tactic's just, he started construction on that hole. He's going to dig himself deeper into it. It's actually 4 minutes and 40 seconds long. It's a banger, and it takes its time. So Nerdbomber's on the board.
Yeah, I just thought she guessed too long.
Bat, How many people have reportedly survived going over Niagara Falls?
Is it eight? Let's go with eight.
And Nerd Bomber.
I don't think it's that many. I think it's two.
It's actually 16. There's some very inventive people out there. And
that's wild.
For those that are wondering, thousands have gone over. I actually don't have the exact number. I'm not sure anyone has the exact number, but it's thousands who have actually gone over the falls. 16 have survived, according to Wikipedia. So a lot, that means a lot of people died. It's tied. So moving into question three, it's a dead heat. Of course, you figured I was probably going to ask this one. Angel Falls in Venezuela is the tallest waterfall in the world. What is its height in feet?
I feel like this was, I used to know this. I don't know why I knew this, but I feel like it wasn't as big as I thought it was. It was like 900 feet or something like that. So I'm going to go 900.
And tactic.
Isn't that like the waterfall you see that like is like great? Like it's like the movie shot that you always see.
I mean, I'm not going to answer that. I feel like it's probably a rhetorical question, but just in case, I'm going to let you know I'm not answering that.
But 900 feet is really tall. It's like a fifth of a mile. I'm going to say it's 60 feet.
How about 3,212 feet? How does that?
That's close.
That's not just me saying a number. That's the answer. So Nerd Bomber takes the point. 60 feet is very short tactic.
Yeah, I know.
Like very short.
I just keep thinking that okay, she's overestimating everything.
Well, Nerd Bomber has the lead here. It's 2-1. No one's busted yet, so congrats on that. Not technically a waterfall, but pretty close. In what year did Splash Mountain originally open at Disneyland?
1989. No, 1985.
This was earlier. 1905. Wasn't it one of like the oldest rides at Disney World?
It was not. Actually, as technical, that was almost extremely impressive. It was 1989. So if you would have stuck with your first answer, you would have bullseyed it. But yeah, 1989. So we're moving into the last question, and it's tied up. I don't know. This is exciting. According to the World Waterfall Database, which apparently is a real thing, as of 2013, which is the latest data they had, so maybe they're defunct. As of 2013, how many waterfalls are there reported to be in the world?
10,000.
10,001.
Okay, you guys did it. You're going to make me try and find a tiebreaker live.
I apologize.
Picked a high number because you knew I had that one, though.
7,827 was the number. So now you guys have done it. Okay, we're going to go back to Niagara Falls for the tiebreaker question. This is a text-in question. How many tons of water flow over Niagara Falls every second? This is from the Niagara Falls State Park website, so I'm pretty sure it's correct. How many tons of water flow over Niagara Falls every second? Okay. Boy, two very different answers. So the answer was 3,160 tons of water. Guys, a ton of water is like a lot of it's a lot. So Nerd Bomber takes it home with 69.
I panicked.
Tactic guessed 12,000. So 69 was a panic move for sure, but it got the job done. So Nerd Bomber takes it home. And that brings us to Nerd Bomber at 7-3. I remain at 6-4. And Tactic, 4-7. Brutal stretch for Tactic. We'll see if he gets it back together next week. But in the meantime, you can head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review there if you like what you heard, or even if you didn't. You can hit us up on our Twitter handles mentioned earlier in the episode. You can also head over to patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast if you're interested in giving back to the show and becoming a patron. So yeah, you should go do that. You should tell your friends. You should tell your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or boyfriend, your grandma. We're in the market for grandmas. It's a low demographic for us. So tell your grandma if you're so inclined. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Stay safe and keep on podcasting.